Good morning. This morning we come to Matthew chapter 28 as we start off Vision Sunday. And so we're going to jump there real quickly. If you have your Bibles, please turn to you in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 16. We're reading we call this the Great Commission passage. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask now that you would help us see the vision that you set before your followers, that they would be about the business of helping develop other followers, calling other people to follow after you. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would do such in us. Lord, help us to see it and to know that the very basis of this vision is a vision of the risen Jesus. And Lord, in this room, I know there are some who are worshipers of Jesus, and the very thought and the very sight does something in our very souls, a joy that we cannot explain. And for others of us, even now, we still struggle with doubt. And so, Lord, may we know wherever we are in that spectrum, we are not alone this morning. Lord, may we see more of you. Speak to us now. Grow us. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I read the New Testament, one of the most compelling things to me is the Jesus who is so compelling to draw such a diverse crowd of people together and to mend them together to make a beautiful mosaic over so many broken, messed up pieces. And as I looked at the church today, it's something I just don't see. I don't see the type of people who are being compelled to Christ so often being compelled these days in the church. I don't see a community that reflects what I see Jesus patterning for us in the New Testament of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And what I want to set before us this morning is a vision of what it would look like in our lives, in our church, if we would begin to pattern and shape our lives, shape the way we go about this very thing that Jesus said, "This is what I want you to do, church. This is what I'm calling you to do to make disciples of all nations," is that if we began to pattern doing how we do that after how Jesus did it. And that's what we want to be together as a community. A community of people who the one thing we have in common is Jesus. I mean, think about it. When you look at the New Testament, when you look at the followers of Jesus, you got both sides of the aisle, right? You have tax collectors and fishermen. You've got the entire spectrum of economic status. You find people from different backgrounds and ethnicities, and you find the only thing these people seem to have in common is Jesus, and that is more than enough. And what would happen if we really began to be individuals, families, and a church family that really gets it is all about Jesus? And that's what I want us to be. And I want us to reflect that in how we do everything we do as a church. That we exist to draw previously and unchurched people to a maturing relationship in Jesus Christ, a place to connect. And the question is, a place to connect to what? And the what is Jesus, community, and mission. That we want to connect people in a life-transforming relationship with Jesus. We want him to change everything in your world. We want him to be the basics and the theme of our songs. The fruit of our lips is about Jesus. We want to connect in community because we're a bunch of screwed-up, dysfunctional people who are brought into this dysfunctional family that's being knit and weaved together into this beautiful tapestry called the church. I know some of you got some really big reservations and hang-ups because of church and church people. I know that's some of your story. Probably all of you in one sense or another. You see, what brings us together, it's not about the church, it's about Jesus and that he loves his church, he is building his church, and that we are called to love one another and be weaved into that. It is not lone ranger following of Jesus. He never intended that. It's to come together as a family and to be on mission. That Sunday morning, if you give an hour 15, 30, I don't know, it depends on how long-winded I am. Sunday morning, that's not enough. That's not what it means to follow Jesus, that I go, check, hour 15, hour 30 this week, Lord, you owe me for that one. What he calls us to follow after him, not say, make disciples who show up once a week to a thing, but followers who love me and worship and follow after me. And so I want to go this morning through Jesus' community mission and really kind of like bring out what that means and see what that means for us as a church and what we're trying to do this year and what God has done and is doing and will do. The first things we're about is Jesus. All right, and so when we look at this, there's a screen up here I want to show, the shot, to kind of vision how we approach ministry. And so we want to look at it through the lens of Jesus' community mission, and the shapes are triangle, circle, square. And the idea is this, is that at the very heart that flows through all this is Jesus, is that we want to be a people who live to know, understand, and experience Jesus. And so we want the very gospel to be the framework that goes through everything we do, everything we teach. We want it consistently coming back to Jesus, because it doesn't matter how much Bible and doctrine you know. If you don't know Jesus and understand that all of it is on Jesus, only good theology is Jesus-centered theology. And for some of you may think I'm going crazy right now, but let me quote Jesus to you. John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, Jesus says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life." In Luke 24:27, he says, "And from beginning with Moses and all the prophets," so he's saying all the Old Testament, "he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." In Romans 11:36, we read, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Colossians 1:16, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." All right? So do you get why we talk about Jesus a lot? It's all about him. He created the thing. He redeemed us. He's bringing us to ourselves, and everything in all creation is pointing unto him. All the scriptures are about him. And so that's why we always want to keep the first thing, the priority thing, is Jesus. All right? We good? We good? All right, good. All right. And so we want to be Jesus, and so that's one of the reasons why we are really trying to formulate all we do and how we rhythm ourselves as a community around that. And so that's one of the reasons why we have core classes on Sunday morning. We want a solid, biblical, Jesus-centered theology, Bible training that you can get without having to take up another night of your week. Because how many of you have free nights of the week? Right? Right? All right? And so you're like, an extra 45 minutes? We're trying to make this easier on you, all right? And so we want Sunday morning to think through, I want to grow in my knowledge of the Word of God. I want to come and experience God through His people, through the worship, and through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And so we want to go deep in theology, deep in the Word of God. We want to know what we believe, and more of that, know who we believe, all right? And so we're all about Jesus. Secondly, we're all about community. And what I don't mean by this, and we'll say the term of, we want to live life together. I don't mean by that that we're going to start a commune and that all of a sudden that we're going to start singing Kumbaya, we're going to all wear the same tennis shoes and wear Snuggies. All right? Though I do know one elder who will remain nameless who could really start that trend, and you know who you are. Anywho, they're freaky. Aren't these those Snuggies? I don't know, those commercials. It looks like a cult. I don't know. But anyway, that is not what we mean. And I want to think through, this is the one thing that I think so often is missed as we look to discipleship. Often in our Reformed or just Protestant background, we would talk about word and deed ministry. We preach, I do acts of mercy, and we're missing something. Because often what happens is the church goes to one way or the other. We're all word. And so we all these teach, we're feeding. And if you eat all the time and you don't exercise or do other things, what happens? You get fat, all right? We got that, all right? You get a little larger. There's more of you to love, but somehow it doesn't work that way, All right, so you feed, or on the other end, deeds. So you do. And what happens if you do, and you never eat? You get sickly. All right, and so we have these two extremes that has happened in Christendom. And I say the reason we go back and forth is just because we go from one thing to another, and Satan likes to push things to one extreme to another. And I think there's something drastically missing, because as you look to the ministry of Jesus, was it merely word and was it merely deed? What we find is that the element I think is so often missing is what should be in the middle, which is life. Remember, did he just do these big teaching and preaching opportunities? No. That was an integral part of his ministry. Was it the only thing? No. He went and he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He did all these miracles. He did a drastic difference in ministering and compassion to people. He did deeds. But was that all that he did? What was that middle part? He calls the disciples to leave everything and do what? Hang out with him. 3 years, we're going to party, we're going to eat, we're going to commute together, we're going to hang out at people's homes together. That's what we're going to do. And you see, this is what I look, as I keep on saying about suburbia. If we look at Plainfield, Naperville, Oswego, blah, 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 whatever suburbia around us, how will we reach people for Jesus? How will we make disciples? And I see what we find in suburbia is what they call crowded isolation. Most of us probably live no more than 15 feet from our neighbor. How many of you know them very well? How many people in this church you really hang out with on a normal basis beyond Sunday morning? How many people do that in your neighborhood? You see, what Jesus said when he was making disciples, he said, you know, teaching is not going to be enough. Doing deeds and doing ministry is not enough. There's got to be the central element, and that is doing life together. And so that's why we're starting these crowded houses. That's why we're going to move to missional communities and be these groups of people who love one another, who hang out and have a common mission and purpose, who gather. And it doesn't matter if you're a follower or you're a skeptic of Jesus. We come and say, we are gospel-formed people who love the gospel, and we are going to live life together and engage our neighbors and engage our community with intentionality. And that's what we're going to do. And so what I keep on saying, for the moment I got here, I want us to be a church that learns how to party with one another and party with our neighbors. Because the amazing thing about the Gospels, when these messed up sinners are caught, are throwing a party, who do they got on speed dial? Let's invite Rabbi Jesus, man. It's a party when Jesus shows up. Ain't no party like a Jesus Christ party, because a Jesus Christ party don't stop, you know? Right? 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 It's like tax other sinners, let's get Jesus on the line, have him show up, and he shows them, because what they experience in his presence is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we want to be people who do life together, who've experienced the beauty of the life of the God of the gospel, and we let that shape our lives, that we live it out with one another. And so we want to be about community. And last, we want to be about mission. And so if you look at the Jesus, it's a triangle. We think about the triune God. We think about the teaching, preaching, all those things. When we look at community, we see a circle. And what I want that to envision for us is a table. Gathering around tables. And then lastly, on mission is the square, the public square. How are we impacting beyond these walls? What difference are we making in the school systems? What difference are we making with our public officials and those who serve us? What difference are we making in our neighborhoods? And so we need to think through, how do we begin engaging the public square around us? How do we go to where they're going? Well, Jesus wasn't come and see, he went, and he was going and going. And isn't it interesting that when we get to the Great Commission passage, he goes, all authority has been given unto me. And then what does he say? Go! All right, and so what's the temptation of every follower of Jesus? To do what? To not do what? Go. And most of you have experienced that in churches. They don't. They stay, they focus on themselves, and they die. Some slow, some quick. But Jesus has always envisioned his church as an outward face, family, community of people who are seeking to live out the gospel in practice, to advance the kingdom in their lives together as a family on mission. So we want to look at, through all these things, how do we do things with intentionality? That's one reason why we didn't want to add another weeknight that we do a more a study core class type thing and then try to do a small group kind of gather thing with people. We wanted to kind of make this on Sunday morning so you can get it here, you get equipped in the gospel, and you can bring it forth in your life. Because if we, what often happens in the church is we add thing after thing, program after program, event after event, and what do you end up doing? If you really get serious about all the things the church is offering, what don't you end up doing? Do you have time to invest in your neighbors who are far from Jesus? Do you have time to go and to say, what is something that I can get involved in the community to make a lasting difference, that I can be light in dark places? You don't have time. Most of you don't have time right now. Right? Do you think, beyond the Sunday morning thing, I don't know about this thing. I don't got time. We're going to talk about that next week. All right? So that's the margin series. But we want to be on mission together. Because Jesus, what did he give his disciples as he left? He said, just hold on till I get back, guys. Enjoy it. Sit back. Get in your Christian lazy boys and just hold on till I get back. What does he say? No. He goes, discipling, go. All of your life, go. Be intentional. Go with purpose. And so that's what we want to be as community. And so with that, we have come together over this last year with what we call our core document for this year. And so what we are trying to do in this is kind of give some vision, get some direction for what we want to see happen over this past year. And what has been so encouraging as I've been going through this is that some of the things that God has already brought to pass. See, Christ Community is a family. Do we have that one? There we go. Christ Community is a family on Jesus' mission of making disciples through connecting and growing people in a vital relationship with God through Jesus in community with others and on God's mission in our community and around the world. And so we use CORE to kind of summarize what we want to see happen this year, and that is community, outward face, review, retool, and realign, and equip. The first C is connect. And we want to build and care for people through community. And so part of that's been is that developing these new missional communities, and the Crowded Houses is our first baby step in that direction, is that we want to reimagine what it means to do life together beyond what we might, some of us who've got experience with small groups, may see something different, see something more in how we approach connecting people in that way. Part of that has been the thing that we're very excited about is hiring our new community life pastor. We are so excited. We have got some amazing candidates, and one of whom will be here next week, and the next one will be here the last week in January. These guys are graduates of Covenant and Reformed Seminaries from St. Louis and Grand Rapids. One is got amazing experience and has been around the block and had some great success in ministry. The other has just got amazing gifts and has actually even written. He actually wrote the discussion guide, the small group study for Tim Keller's book, A Reason for God. I'm told that people come to Jesus left and right around this guy. So we are just really so blessed with who God's bringing. So we're excited about that. And really what he will do is help kind of forge this, help bring unity and direction as we seek to do all we do curriculum-wise, all we do on a teaching end and a missional community doing life together end, of kind of bringing that all together so we're focused. Because it feels that so often we are more like a shotgun than a rifle. All right, for some of you are like, I don't know the difference. All right, so shotgun is these little BBs and they kind of go in a big direction. You kind of hope that you smack something, but doesn't really have much velocity and like direction to it. The arrow is everything's pointed, and there's such force and velocity because we're all in the same moment going the same direction. And so part of that's going to help bring that to us. And so we're so excited about that. Also, it's been established and provide and expand our ability to provide care. And so one of the things that we're trying to grow in is that how do we care for people more? And so we've started a care team. And what this team is doing is that they're trying to connect people, because a lot of you are going through some serious stuff. Last week, a lot of you turned in prayer requests for this year, things you're asking God, and that we've been praying this week. The elders met, and they prayed through the prayer request. The staff did, and we're going to continue praying through those things that you wrote down throughout the year. If you want to add to that, feel free, grab a little piece of paper and turn in the office, fold it. You don't have to get your name. You can if you want. But it's just an amazing moment to see what so many of you are struggling with. And the first thing I wanted to say to you, whatever you're struggling with, what was clear from those cards, you're not alone. Because sometimes you go through these hard times and you think you're the only one. I'm the only one with a rotten marriage. I'm the only one who's struggling at my workplace. I'm the only one who's struggling with depression. I'm the only one who has these thoughts. I'm the only one who's just, I feel so guilty. I feel so ashamed. And I'm the only one. And what was so beautiful about reading those was that the reminder to me and to remember all of us that you are not alone. And one of the things we want to be able to do better is connect you with other people who are dealing with the same thing. Because sometimes you just need that other person who goes, I know totally what you're talking about. I've been there, man. And so what we're going to look for is for some of you who've maybe been through, you've been through the divorce, you've been through cancer, you've been through some abuse, you've been through some really hard things in your life, and you say, hey, I want to help someone else who's been through that. And so this care team is going to help to try to find out who those people are and connect them with other people. So you can say, you can email, call the care team and say, man, I'm struggling with this. Do you have someone I could talk to? And so we'll try to connect you with that individual. That they're going to try to do a better job of how do we care when it comes to things like you've been in the hospital or just general, and there's maybe some ongoing issues in your family. How do we care better? And so they're working in tandem with our shepherding elders to really do that and do that well. Part of what we've done this last year has been a lot of restructuring. We've been trying to see how can we more effectively minister and do what God's calling us to do. And so one of that has been even on our elder board, we've divided us in half. And that half of us are administrative and half of us are shepherding. And I can tell you, man, I am so thankful for the guys that God has put in leadership here. And it's been an amazing year. These guys have really taken seriously the call to say, we want to really do and kind of accomplish this vision. And we really want to see people cared for and to shepherd people better. And so it's been just a great time as we're working through that and developing that. And so you'll hopefully see more and more of these guys saying, we are really taking a vested interest in this. This is what God is calling us to do and using their gifts and abilities through that. Next is outward face. Is that we want to have every ministry outward to our city. And so we want to ask every ministry that we have is to think through how are you serving our community, not just merely trying to do something and bring them here, but say how are we going out there and ministering to them. That we want to develop a method for serving and engaging a community to make this the central part of every ministry. We want to see how do we do this not merely in Plainfield in our area, but around the world. And so some of you remember in October we had our Mission Sunday, and it's so exciting to see that just this year we are giving tens of thousands of dollars away to that missions that people around the world may come to know and to grow in Jesus Christ. For the first time, we have a central missions program. We're looking to find long-term missionaries who we come alongside as a family to support them through thick and thin over the course of their ministry. And so God has been blessing in that area. One of whom you know very well, Pete Rizzuto, who God has called to United Arab Emirates. And so we're going to have over the next few weeks him and Janine DeYoung some videos sharing what God has done and is doing in and through them and their ministries in the UAE and in Nigeria. And so it's just really awesome to see how even now God has begun some of these things and moved and worked in them. We want to really advance that mission presence even through our mission trips that we've done for so long and continue to do. Challenge you to think about, you know, how are you doing mission? And one of the things that, you know, as I think about, how many have ever been on a mission trip? Ever been on a mission trip? One of the things about mission trip is like a life-changing event. And you know the reason why I think mostly? When we talk about Jesus Community Mission, usually on those trips is that one time where you see all three happening. You usually have a devotion, you're studying the Word of God together, and you have that center of just focus. This is all about Jesus. You know why you're here, we're about Jesus. What else you do? You're hanging out together. You're on these like you're in like these third world countries or somewhere. There's not y'all don't smell so well, you know. And you're just kind of like, hey, this is what we do, man. You know, you encourage one another. It doesn't matter how bad things are or how bad things are going, or you know, you're just kind of like, come on, man, let's go. And you're encouraging one another, and you just know we're here for a mission. And then you're out doing stuff in the community and helping those who are poor, helping those who are struggling, and you're doing all this. And some of you know, man, that was so amazing. And I want to tell you, that can happen here. That is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's not a one-week trip that you go on that you get this feeling. He goes, that is what ministry is. That is what following after me is. And we need you to become a part of this to make this happen, to become this type of people. So it's not merely a mission trip we do once a year or every other year, but a mission trip that we call our life. and we experience on all three levels. Next is review, retool, and realign. And basically just looking through it, all we do is that a lot has changed in the last 3 years here. As you think about it, we have less than half the staff we had 3 years ago. We've had tons of leaders go leave through church planning and through job callings elsewhere in the country. And basically, you think about a fabric. As these things, these threads are being ripped out, what happens to the fabric? Becomes loose, becomes tattered, and what we have to do is weave them back together. And so we've been through a lot of change. You got this new pastor. God bless your hearts. And there's a lot of differences, a lot of changes. And so that's one of those things that you see there was a lot of holes in the system, a lot of things that needed to change, things that weren't expected to change. And what we've got to come today is come and look at everything we do and say, does this really align with what God's calling us to do? Are we really accomplishing the things we think we're doing and not merely we think we're doing? We know that we're doing these things. And so we wanted to look at every ministry, everything we do and say, let's go back and let's ask ourselves, why are we doing this? Is this really accomplishing what we're desiring to accomplish? And is it aligning with, as we say, a place to connect to Jesus, community, and mission?
So one of the things that Phil and I have been talking about just over the past couple weeks is that we have been thinking that the church is kind of like an iceberg, okay? Or maybe you want to use the example of a foundation of a house where you don't see the foundation of that house. And what's happened is that over the past few years, a lot of bricks have been pulled out of our foundation. And some people have said to us, why is it, you know, that there's not more going on right now? Why aren't we doing more? And the reason is because that would be like putting bricks, new walls on top of a foundation that doesn't have enough bricks in it. And what we're doing right now is we're strengthening the foundation. What's going on is happening under the ground. And we've been doing a ton of stuff, but it's not all obvious. And so what we're doing is making that foundation stronger so that when we start building, it's going to be firm on top. So,
yeah. And you know, when you think about just the life of us, we are one big family. All of us have probably experienced one time or another when a family member moved away, when a family member died, when a family got married and they had a switch going back between one family to another for holidays. And that changes the dynamic of a family, doesn't it? It changes the gathering. New people, you got these new little ones who start showing up to the family gatherings who keep on being birthed, and you don't know, these young folks are like rabbits, and you know, you have more and more of these little rugrats running around, and so you have all this, and then you've got these new people marrying into, you know, you're like, she's 12, no, she's 25, and she's married now. No, she's 12, I swear. You know, and all of a sudden you've got these new people into the family, and what needs to happen for the family to grow together? If all you're talking about is missing great-great-grandmother or Aunt Ethel, and you don't see that God is bringing a new generation in, and our family is growing and developing and reinvesting in the family grows apart. And what we need is one family is to come and say that God is drawing new, and some people have moved on, some people have gone on to other things, and that God is bringing new people into the family. And for some of you who've been around a while, you really need to invest into the new people you see around you. There's a lot of young kids who are new to the family who you need to go and pursue and give a hug to, all right? And welcome into the family, and so we connect on that. And so that's one of the things that we really want to do that and realign as a community.
Can I just ask how many people are new within the past 2 years? Can you raise your hands? Remember those people, okay? Talk to these people. I'm serious. Pull them in. Talk to them. Let's get to know them a little bit. If you didn't raise your hand, seek them out, okay?
You know, and one of the things that we try to accomplish is we're trying to work on communication lines. And one of that is that we're trying to get this idea of multiplying and having a guy or an individual kind of caring for those underneath them and those caring for those underneath them. And so we're going to have our elders are going to begin to connect with our deacons and care for them. The deacons connected to our different ministries. And we kind of this line of communication going back and forth. What are needs? What are prayer requests? And so we kind of have those lines of communication. And the one big thing is we have to realize that is that as a church, one of the blessings we have here is that we're big enough to offer things that a smaller church doesn't. But the other flip side is that, as though we may seem a certain size, we don't have the infrastructure and the staff member, all these things to kind of be and communicate on the level that the larger church you may see that we may kind of feel like has. And so it's one of those weird dynamics we are as a church and our church size dynamic. And so one of the things that we want to ask everyone to do is, number one, give the benefit of the doubt. Love, go back to 1 Corinthians 13, so love thinks no wrong. All right? So don't just assume. And the second one, ask. You know, if you think, I don't know, what was this? When was time was this? Ask. And go to the venues that we've said. We have in the bulletin, we've got on the screens to the sides, we have the screens in the back, we have Facebook, we have our website, we have our weekly connection email. And if you aren't kind of vibing on all those levels, at least find some of those levels to find out more. And at the end, don't just start, well, I don't know what this is, and you start, go and just ask somebody.
There are lots and lots of avenues of communication, but we're finding that sometimes people aren't using them. And then they're saying that we don't communicate well. And that's fair. Maybe we need to find better ways to do that. But like service time changes, we've been talking about that since Thanksgiving. So, and it's just that people might not necessarily, it's easy to space out during verbal announcements, right, when we're just announcing things. It's easy not to read the welcome email or the weekly connection that we send. By the way, you can sign up for that on the welcome card in the back of your seat pocket. You can sign up for the weekly connection email to get that every week. So.
And last, equip. We want to identify, equip, and subsequently expand the leadership base. And the one thing that we want to do is that we really want to invest in the next generation leaders. And so we've begun this leadership program, LEAD, that's a requirement for any officer, but something we want everyone to take advantage of, that you can grow in what it means and get a glimpse of what we're about as a church and what it means to really lead in love. And so we invite you to come out for that. And then we're also thinking about further ways for us to expand this process, for us to really envelop and create and develop disciples. We are working on a master plan. Part of the core class is thinking about, we don't want to just offer things just to say we have to something to offer. All right? So when we do these classes, we're doing them very intentionally. Is that we want to think at the very heart, what are the things that we really think people really need to know and believe in order to grow in their faith? And so we want to encourage you to come out and check out a core class. As time goes on, we're hoping to add more, so we'll have two or three going on at one time. Right now we have one. And so as we keep on saying around here, baby steps, all right? We're not going to take on something new until we can do it well, all right? Because so often, I think a lot of you know that, when you try to do too much, what happens? You don't do anything well. We want to do what we do with excellence and make sure that we're taking steps. And so for some of you, this can be frustrating, all right? You're like, now, wait. All right? Patience. And, just a reminder as we do that. And so we want to do that. And we're offering these things because what we're saying is when we offer these things, we're saying this is what we want you to be a part of so you can grow as a follower of Jesus. We're not just doing this to do these or just to do the church thing. We want you to grow in knowledge and experience of Jesus. And so these are the things we're going to offer. And so we're so excited about that. And there's a few things as we think through this that we really need everyone to do. Number one is pray. All right? You're excited about what God's doing. What you need to do? Pray. Pray. Number two, pray. Number three, pray. Four, pray. And five, pray. All right? So we can do nothing apart from Him. On the flip, then, say that you're struggling with some things that are going on. What do you need to do? Pray. 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 Pray, pray. Because there's this thing that happens. Number one, I say we want to do what God's doing, not what He longs for us to, not what we want to do.
What if I'm angry?
If you're angry, get what the answer to that one is. Pray. And pray some more. And pray some more. Because what happens is God will either change your heart or change things. Sometimes nothing will change, but something in you changes. And so what we need everyone to do, don't go and start talking to other people. Pray. All right, if there's a conflict, a disagreement, what do you do next? After you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you're like, I'm still kind of struggling with this or feel I need to talk about this, what do you need to do next? Pray some more and then go to the person. All right, and then pray for that person. Pray for that ministry. Pray for that thing. Because we have always seen, how are we honoring Jesus in what we're doing? You know, I've looked at times in my life where I was right, but my heart wasn't doing it with the right motivation. And if I would have spent more time taking to pray for the situation, for myself, how different that would be. And so we want to be a community of prayer. Second is patience. Patience. I am not a patient man. All right? Patience. All right, so some things are just not going to go as quickly as you want. Some things are going to be irritating. Some things will be frustrating. And what we need together is patience. Love is... Oh, isn't it funny that was the first one? You know, love is patient. Let me get this right off the back. All right, so as I always say with that text, what is that telling you? You're going to want to be impatient, and people are going to make you want to be impatient. All right? So love is patient. We are family. We are patient with one another. Patience sometimes that people are just not coming along as soon as you want or as quickly as you want. You know, you're struggling. Like, I thought you'd be growing more at this point. And you struggle with that and say, be patient. Love one another through that. We need to participate. All right? Participate. So what's that mean? Going in. Jump on in. You know, don't just sit there. Because sometimes, some of you are kind of like, why isn't everything going? Why isn't anything going? What are you doing? Nothing. All you do is complain and get angry or whatever. Jump in and help. Participate. Give. Pray. For others of you, like, oh, this is great. I love what they offer me here. What's the problem? You're doing nothing. You're like, give, gimme, 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 gimme. So you have the gimmies and the why don't they? And both of them, what you need to do, you need to participate. Because again, we go back to see how much has changed and how much leaders and key pieces we've lost over the last few years. All right, you come now, and all of a sudden we've got these missing pieces of the puzzle. And when I got here, I was amazed that not much has changed. Even so many differences happened. We weren't doing much less than we were doing just a few years ago when we had a lot more people, a lot more staff, a lot more leaders. And so what does that mean? Same amount of work, who's doing it? Less people. All right, and they're about burnout stage. So for some of you who've been around and just been sitting there, we need you to jump on in. Because we want to have margin in all of our lives. That means that we all need to participate. And last is personal responsibility. All right? You have a question about something? Ask. Check. Go through the venues. All right? When's this happening? Look, go to the website. Go on Facebook. Call the office. All right? Take personal responsibility. You know, sometimes it feels like we have to, like, I either have to go to your house, knock on the door, and yell at you the announcements each morning. I'm like, good morning, welcome to your house. I'm Phil, the lead pastor at the church down the road, and I'm here just to tell you what the announcements for you this week are, all right? Because that's how it feels for me sometimes, all right? And so we are doing our best to communicate in as many avenues for those of you. Some of you are not internet savvy at all. We're going to try to use the bulletin. We've got the slides in here. All right, those things that scroll up there during the service or before the service aren't just there for light and color, all right? So there's information on those things. Look in those. As you come in the building, there's that screen right there. There's information on that. You know, you're like, was the game on? I don't know. No, it doesn't look like the game.
And if you like making slides, then see me after the service to get involved. That's a shameless plug.
And so wherever you are, there's a place for you to participate. Because as we come back as a family, growth in a family means what? My boys now are the recipients of a lot of us doing stuff for them. As they grow in the family, what do we start making them do?
Wash the dishes,
clean up your toys, be a part of this family, all right? And so we need everyone to be on board. That this vision can only happen of us being a vision reflective of all the beauty and the wonder that we see in the church, we see in the life and ministry of Jesus, can happen as we all get on board. So you say, well, I don't got much time, but you do have some time. And find ways and avenues for you to grow, for you to connect, and for you to serve. This is what we want to be. And we cannot do it without you. Start inviting your friends. Start praying more. Start getting into the Word. Start doing some of these things. You know, one of the easy ways, Facebook is a beautiful thing. Tag and say, I was at Christ Community this morning. So it goes back to our website. Your friends see it. Like, oh, Christ Community. Oh, Christ, oh, they're talking about that church again. I don't know what's going on there. You know, and then it begins. And find ways to kind of share with your friends. Share Jesus. Live before them and try to connect with them. Invite your friends over. Take some personal responsibility. Take some initiative. Get some attention to your life. Is there anything else you can think of, T?
Well, we're quote-unquote ministers, meaning that we're paid to minister to people. But in reality, God says that as soon as you are a part of the family of God, that you are part of the priesthood. Ultimately, there's no difference between, we don't have some special line to God, And we don't have some necessarily special responsibility over that. You are part of the priesthood now because you believe in Jesus, okay? Which means that you can shepherd other people. You can love people. It's your responsibility to do that too. You can be a part of what's going on. And so all that we ask of you is live it out. You know, when you see someone hurting, talk to them. Love people. Take time. You know, be a part of this body by taking initiative, just like he said.
You know, because you think about if your child's struggling and not getting, like, failing their classes, you're like, why are you failing? Well, are you doing your homework? No. Are you paying attention in class? No. What are you going to start saying? Start paying attention. Bring your homework home and do it. Is that begin to take responsibility. If you're like, I want to grow more, ask us and we'll give you resources. For some of you, are like, well, you want us to feed you. You got to maybe need to pick up a book, starting with this one, and start reading it yourself. We want to do whatever we can to help you grow in Jesus, to follow after him. But we got to be in this together.
And if you need help, ask us.
Ask us.
Please. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that I said, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Oh, I was in the hospital. What? You know, we can't read your mind. We don't know. If you are sick, if you are in need, we have people, our shepherding elders want to help you. We have people who would love to bring you meals. But we got to know. You got to tell us. So call the office and tell us so that we can help you.
With that said, I know this is a little different for a Sunday, but hopefully it's kind of getting us together that we've got to go forward with unity. We've got to go forward under the banner of Jesus and the gospel. And we need everyone on board, all hands on deck, because he has given us a mission. He has given us himself. And there's nothing greater than that. And so let's go forth with purpose and with wonder, for we have been called his own. And he has given us the privilege of joining him in the great task, the great mission of advancing the kingdom of God.
And we just want to say to you also, we love you.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Love you. We don't do this job because we get paid the big bucks. Okay? We do this job because we are called to be here and because we love you. You are loved. You're a special part of this church. We're glad you're here. We might not be perfect. We will fail you. I guarantee you. We will.
Amen.
But just keep in mind that we love you. And we're here for you.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you as your children. We come to you as a bunch of diverse people who have one thing in common, and that's Jesus. And Lord, for those in this room who even in this moment are far from you and they don't have that, but there's something even in their heart right now that's kind of, man, I'm longing for that. I want some of that. Lord, may you just reveal yourself and the beauty and wonder of your gospel to them. Oh, Father, would you give us more intentionality and purpose and power as we depend on you this year and as we seek you to do great and mighty things in us, in this community. Father, may we wait upon the Lord. May we not take a step before you've called us to take that step. And Father, may we exhibit the reality and beauty of love, of your type of love, of real love to one another as we go forward. And Father, may that be so compelling. Those who are far from Jesus in our neighborhoods, who are longing for real community, who are longing to connect, who are longing to fill that aching void in their life, that in us they would see the answer to all of that is Jesus and this beautiful family that he has created, redeemed, created, and put together. Well, we thank you. We offer this in Jesus' name.